This just in. This is the news, according to me. Yes, it is. And this is bright and early this morning, 8:30 Eastern Time. Didn't get up as early as I thought I would. I didn't sleep much last night. This hotel living thing is just... there's a bit of stress involved in this whole trip, so it's going to be, as most trips, but there's more in this one just for other reasons. But, what day is this? Wednesday? Fine, happy Wednesday morning to you. And we are looking at, what is this, March 3rd, 2021. It should be a good day. Should be a good morning today. Not a whole lot going on in the news. Oh my word, things are out of control. It's all the little stuff that's bubbling. You know, it's like that. It's like a pot that starts to boil, and you get all those little tiny bubbles that are kind of congregating on the bottom of the pot. And if you watch it, it'll never boil. Supposedly, that's what I've heard. But it's one of those things where, you know, it starts to make all those funny noises and you're wondering what's going on because it's actually sounding like something's happening, but there's nothing happening. You don't see anything happening. And it's just a lot of little bubbles right now. A lot of little things in different directions, different angles, different parts. And it's just interesting. It's an interesting. I take interest in the interesting. Yeah, so as I covered yesterday, I covered a few things. The big thing was the budget. I wanted to talk about the spending that's going on in Congress. I talked about that a little bit last night on the late night edition. I think I finally finished that out at 1:30 in the morning, something like that. 1 o'clock. I think it finally got posted around 1:30, and that's why I didn't really make it up that early. I took a little nap yesterday. About 8 o'clock, I fell asleep after dinner. And by the way, I had grilled salmon with green beans and potatoes. That's what I had. Just so you know, I thought you... And sweet tea, of course. Sweet tea that I made at home and brought with me because I don't... You know, I know I was coming to Atlanta, and I know that there's sweet tea here, but Atlanta itself... proper. It's hard to find good sweet tea around here. It's kind of a crapshoot. However, most parts of Georgia, you find sweet tea all over the place. But speaking of Georgia, we have this craziness going on down here. I guess they've decided to change some voting laws here in the state. I wonder why. I thought we had the most perfect election ever, but now they're talking about the sweeping election reform that we need. And of course, now I know. The House is trying to pass a bill. I think it's going to pass the House, actually. This whole thing with all this new voter requirements, or lack thereof. Basically, it's a free-for-all. It just opens up the floodgates of irregularities and issues that we had in this election. If they get that passed and get that through and done, now Manchin, there's a couple of Democrats who are more or less centrist, who actually have some semblance of sanity in the Senate, and they have a tendency to not go along with all the crazy stuff too much on the left. They're not the most liberal of Democrats. Let's just put it that way, and. So in that sense, there is some flexibility. We haven't totally lost the Senate with regard to that. However, if it's a 50-50 vote, you know, that's of course then Kamala gets in there and hopefully she's learning something being in the leadership position because she's never really been a leader. She's a little kid. She's like a 12-year-old. And doesn't understand anything about leadership or what being an adult is, it seems. So, anybody know anything about her family? Nothing. Yeah. Does anybody know? Nobody knows. She talks about celebrating Kwanzaa when she was a child. Kwanzaa, by the way, she was 2 years old when it was invented. And it didn't really make it into the black community for another, you know, 5-6 years as a whole. And then it was only basically pretty much all the Black Panther folks, of which her parents were not a part of. And she just makes up stories. You know, it's just never-ending pandering on the left and sometimes on the right. It just, these political politicians are pathetic. It's the PPP program. So the you know, Biden's doing such a good job as being as a uniter, and I think that we need to just stand back and just stand in awe for a moment, just gaze upon the uniting that's going on in our country under Biden and his administration. I guess there's been a poll out or something about him. He's not bringing America together. The big surprise there. That's a big surprise. Yeah, that's news. News flash. Yeah. So, we talked about the budget a little bit yesterday, but we still continue to race down this road of how much can we spend and how soon can we spend it. And the whole, you have to understand, the left operates out of panic right now. Panic and fear, and a lust for power and control and money, greed, which is most of the basic problems that people have in general as humans. On the left and in the crucible of politics, it is amplified 1,000 times. They are in this bubbling cauldron. By the way, a watched cauldron doesn't boil. They're in this situation where they have to maintain power and control, mostly because they are power mongers and control freaks. They just have no intention at all of losing control of people, being at the top of the pile. Rules for thee and not for me has been pretty obvious over the past year. Well, in the process of doing all that, they have to spend money. They have to spend and spend and spend, because when they spend the money from the coffers of the government, or in other words, my pocket and your pocket, they are able to funnel and channel some of that flow back into their campaign funds and to organizations that are friendly to their wacky ideas. Unfortunately, here's what I've seen happen over the last, 100 years since I've been alive. The tendency is for this, the money, it tends to fund organizations that are way wackier than what even some of these politicians are, like way on the left, like absolutely nutty crazy. And of course, that helps them out in the short term, because they get voters. They continue, the party stays in power. The problem is the party is now funded way left of where they want to be. And at some point, you get eaten by your own. Now, I've talked about this before, but the tendency for the leftists and even the people in the politicians on the right fall into this trap of, well, we need to be about the people's business. We need to be about, you know, we need to compromise. So what happens is, you know, you come together and you compromise with a leftist. Then the leftist runs down the road and says, okay, we're here. We want to compromise again. Let's meet halfway. Okay. So that then the conservative moves down the road to meet him halfway to get what they want. And then they run down the road again and want to meet halfway. Which direction is the conservative walking? Same direction that the leftist is walking, only just a lot slower. They're just dragging you along. And that's exactly what happens. They fall into the same trap, the same modes of operation. You'll see a lot of Republicans, even especially in the high-up leadership, fall into the same funding traps by being beholden to China, other countries, all the backroom deals that happen with family and friends, the payola that goes on between... And this is why term limits are so important. I think it's not so much that the person... You know, you get a good congressman in there. That's great. It works great. And if they stay in for a long time, that's great. But the problem is, the longer you're there, the more connections you make, the more opportunities there are to do things that are a little unseemly. And the next thing you know, you're connected to a whole group of people who force you into a situation that is not good. That's just the dynamics of the way it works. If those positions were not there that long, it would be much more difficult to continue that kind of a swampy attitude and kind of swampy activity, regardless of whether you're good or not. And that's just the price we'll have to pay. I mean, there's some people who I wouldn't care if they were senators or congressmen forever because they've been consistent. They do a good job. Ron Paul was in there for a long time, and he was. They called him Dr. No because he voted no for everything. And, I'm fine with that. But still, you know, he should have only been in there a little while. It shouldn't have been forever. So it is it's an interesting thing that's going on right now in the Congress. I think that there's some understanding finally that you know, Republicans need to stand up, have some backbone, defend our rights because of the direction things are going. Now, if you think about it, just like Dr. Seuss, this whole Dr. Seuss thing is just crazy. It is the weirdest thing. You got that going on. You've got all kinds of, you know, this idea of cultural appropriation being bad. Now, I think in its form, by its definition, I think it is kind of a weird thing, but It's a bad thing, maybe, possibly. However, in certain circumstances, it's like, okay, if I want to, if I like tacos, I can go eat tacos. By eating a taco does not make me culturally appropriating tacos or that it's Mexican food. Food is a good example because you can see, and when you see diversity in culture and you see, you go to a festival and there's all kinds of different food there. And people want to try everybody else's food, different recipes. It's just food. It's just a cultural way of eating. Their culture was, you know, they eat a lot of this kind of food or that kind of food. How things have developed over the years. And it's, you know, the Italians are known for their sauces and pasta. And at least as far as I know, because when I go to Olive Garden, that's what they've got there. I'm assuming it's authentic. I know some authentic individuals who have authentic, like, one-off restaurants, locally owned kind of thing. Owner is there all the time at the restaurant. But the tendency, you know, is to make this inappropriate. Or that you can't do that. Like I couldn't open a Mexican restaurant or a Thai food restaurant. Maybe I want to open a restaurant and hire, you know, individuals, the cook and the managers who know Thai food. And maybe they're from Thailand or maybe they're not. But as long as they know Thai food, maybe they lived there for 10 years. And there's a lot of Americans that have lived in Thailand for a long time. And they just understand food and know the food. They know the food better than some Taiwanese that have lived here all their life. Yeah. So it's just, they should have the freedom to do that. It shouldn't be some kind of cultural taboo that you get, you know, shoved into the the Facebook Square and flogged. Which, by the way, I got this weird announcement from Facebook. I got this. I don't know. I think somebody may have complained, and I have no idea why. All I do with Facebook, with my page here, is on Facebook in general, my normal Facebook page, I never tag anybody. I don't think I've tagged anybody in over a year. And Facebook put me in jail, and I didn't know this was possible. I guess they can prevent you, they can limit you from tagging anybody for 24 hours. So, what? They sent me this thing that says, you're now limited from tagging anyone until 5:43 this morning, I think it was. Or maybe it's tonight, I don't know. I don't care, I don't tag anybody anyway. I don't understand what happened there. That was the weirdest thing. So I posted a picture of, I took a screenshot of it and posted it on my Facebook page, and everybody was laughing, and so everybody started tagging me. They were all putting my name down, which I thought was kind of funny. But it was like nobody, it's like, how did that happen? How does this happen? Who decides this stuff? It's the weirdest thing. And on my Facebook channel for the News According to Me, all I do is, I put the link to the podcast up. Maybe there was something in the title of the podcast. I don't know. I don't think so. I kind of try to be a little bit innocuous sometimes. I might make some statements on there, but it's just a wacky, crazy cancel culture. Say that three times real fast. So it's just been interesting to see things unfold here, especially under this new administration. There seems to be nothing holding them back. We used to have this kind of bully pulpit president who would just talk about how insane, crazy these things are. Although now we just have a guy who, it used to be when he was off teleprompter, he would struggle. And now he's on teleprompter, and he's struggling with reading the teleprompter. He continues to pull out little cards and little notes with a whole bunch of stuff on them to remind him of what's going on. Probably has a little note on there on his little card that says, if found, please return to Jill Biden, 1600 West Pennsylvania Avenue. I don't know if it's probably. He probably wears one of those little bracelets with a little chip in it. They can tell where he's at. I don't know. It's pretty bad, folks. It's getting pretty bad. And if this goes on another 6 months, think about it. This has only been 2 months, or not even that. Sorry, month and a half. We're in our second month. March 20th here will be the end of the second month. And I guess there's not going to be a State of the Union address. I'm not going to do that. Usually that's about an hour-long speech, at least. Typically sometimes longer than that. And obviously I don't think he can do that. Most of his speeches so far have been about 20 minutes long. And that's long. That's a long speech. And you don't hear from him the rest of the day. And by the time the speech is over with, he's stammering around, wandering around without his mask on, wondering where, who he's supposed to talk to next. It's getting pretty pathetic. So I guess AOC, this is in the news. AOC says that New York Times, or New York Police Department, I'm sorry. I think it was in the New York Times. The NYPD, New York Police Department, is buying a robotic dog. Now, I don't know if you've seen these things. Their legs bend backwards. They just look creepy. Or at least they're backwards from my perspective. They just look weird. They look creepy. And there's this new... It's a robot with four legs. It looks like a dog. It's able to go over and around all kinds of terrain. I guess it's very powerful. It can jump up onto things. It has all kinds of cameras on it and sensing devices and know, microphones, all that stuff. Now, I don't know, I don't think it's autonomous in the sense that it's, I think it has to have a controller. However, the person that is with it doesn't necessarily have to be the controller. Think about that. What if they want to turn the dog on you? Now, I don't think it can bite. I don't think it has teeth. It's just a robot with four legs, with weird articulating legs. Looks creepy when it's walking and jumping and running. It just looks weird. I saw this thing when it was under development, and it was weird. It would run, and then it would fall down, and it was just, of course, it can't get back up again. Well, at least that one couldn't. It was kind of weird. It would kind of, like, its legs would go stiff once in a while. It would have, like, a weird twitch on it or something. It was when they were starting to develop this thing. This was a long time ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And apparently now it's to the point where they've got it operating. Well, the thing cost $75,000. And the NYPD bought one. Now, my question is, what exactly is this thing going to do? They must have some kind of plan with this thing. Now, of course, AOC has come out and complained about it. Because she claims that the robot dog is racist. Having a robot dog is racist. Everything's racist. If you don't agree with something, it's racist. Pretty much, that's just pretty much the way it goes. So just keep that in mind. Totally ridiculous stuff. Math is racist because you have an absolute, and anything that's absolute, any kind of moral standard that's absolute, any kind of science that is actually absolute is racist or is not science at all. You see, they make a differentiation between truth and facts. And Biden actually said this once in a speech. They have truth, they have facts, we have truth. Because truth in the eyes of a leftist, in the eyes of one of these people with this religion called Marxism. It's not really a religion, but it's the whole, their government religion in the temple of democracy, that idea I just read something interesting here. I hate to break it off here. This is kind of interesting. I was just kind of looking through some headlines. That's kind of an interesting headline there, but no, I lost my train of thought. I got distracted. Sorry about that, folks. It was a late night. So, this idea that anything's racist is because any kind of absolute flies in the face of where they're at. Because the difference between truth and facts, and this has happened in, like, with Larry Elder. He's given them statistics. And in an argument with what the real numbers are in terms of racism and systemic racism, and he argues that there basically isn't any systemic racism. He says there, he talked about a city, major metropolitan city, where there was a mayor, an entire city board, the chief of police, and the arresting officer were all black. And the individual who was arrested, the individual was shot. I don't think they were killed, but they were shot. And it was an outrage in the community that there was systemic racism in that city. So, are these just black people who are implementing systemic racism that they were unaware of? They're doing this? Because obviously they can't be racist, obviously. Or is this something different than what the definition of system, are they just, is this just become a term? that can be used to create and disrupt unity, law and order, that kind of thing. I would say the latter. That's what's going on there. I guess the DOJ, Biden's DOJ, what I understand, is they are really, really, really interested in investigating domestic terrorists. And the definition of domestic terrorism now is changing, and it's you're going to see it morphing into. I wouldn't be surprised if anyone who has a flag at their home, puts up a flag at their home, especially if you got a Trump flag at your home, you're going to be a terrorist. Now, this gets back to this whole Christopher Wray thing. I want to talk about this. I just mentioned it last night. But I really want to talk about this today. Christopher Wray, in testimony, said that there's no evidence of any fake Trump supporters or any Antifa people at the January 6th event at the Capitol. And that, to me, to hear him say that and to say it with such conviction, sir, you are either completely living on another planet. But this is the way they do stuff. They start statements like this that they know that the media and the left can use. Now the media will say, "See, that's been debunked." You know, what do they call him? Ray, whatever. What is Director Ray? I guess what his name is. That's his title. Has said that there wasn't any of this. There wasn't any of that. Director Ray said, and even Biden quoted him in a debate. Said, well, your director Ray, you know, because he was under the administration, under the Trump administration, even though Trump didn't know who the guy was when he picked him. He was basically just going along with what people were telling him to do. And you can't know everybody. You know, he stepped in from the normal world into their world, and of course that's just the way it works. So Director Ray said that Antifa is not an organization, it's an ideology construct, and okay. So I guess just an ideology did $2 billion worth of damage to private property in this country. Over $2 billion now. You're telling me that they're not organized. You're telling me there's no Facebook page, which there is. You can find people organizing under the Antifa banner all over the place, which claims to be anti-fascist, which actually is fascist. Black is white, white is black, up is down, down is up. The For the People Act, for instance, is now being finally there's some congressmen coming out and saying this For the People Act is for anything but the people. It's not for the American people. It's not for U.S. citizens. It's for everybody else. So Director Ray, in all of his infinite wisdom, has come out now and said that there's no evidence of any Antifa or fake Trump supporters there. People posing as Trump supporters who broke into the Capitol. Now, they've arrested over 300 people. They're arrested or they have warrants out for over 300 people. Over 300 people. There weren't that many in the Capitol building that day. So these are people who were just there. And they are going after records of everyone who was there in D.C. that day, on the lawn. Not in the building, just if you were there. You are now on a list. They got your cell phone records. They got not just your cell phone records, they got everything from your cell phone. They got all your text messages, anything that was sent data-wise. It's, they got it. Yeah. And because you can trust them, don't worry. Under emergency powers, they were able to get all that information from the phone companies. Without due process, by the way. And so now they're considering all this to be domestic terrorism. Well, John Sullivan, may I remind you, John Sullivan, anti-government activist. Up to this point, I'm not sure if he's been charged with anything. I believe he was initially taken in for questioning. He's still walking around free. He's not in jail. I think his organization is called Insurgents USA. Gee, Insurgents. He is an ex-Trumper, vehement ex-Trumper. He wasn't going to the Capitol that day to try to change the election, folks. So just, he was there. If you hear this, the talking that he was doing prior to that, for Christopher Wray to say that there's no one there, there's video evidence that we have all seen of an anti-Trumper, fake Trump supporter, if you will, who was in the Capitol building. So tell me how that works. For him to stand there and just lie flat out to the people and of course, he gave the media the talking points they needed. And that's the big key there. And I've seen that happen so many times that they'll make a statement that they know the media can run with and use. Just like I said, Biden used it Trump's comeback to that was, you've got to be kidding me. So this is what we're up against. We're up against this weird kind of deep state, if you want to call it that, just the slimy part of the swamp that is the bureaucrats, the unelected bureaucrats who've been there forever, who really run the show. You know, they figured out a long time ago that, hey, we're in charge of the intelligence. We're the ones telling the president what's going on. If we can, you know, we can get the dirt on everybody around this place, and we can use that to steer the agenda. If we tell the president we have intel that says that there is such and such and such and such going to happen, or that these people are bad and they need to be taken out, well, the president is only acting on the intelligence he's given by the people he, you know, has in those organizations, who were there prior to him being there, prior to the last president being there, probably. And, you know, that stuff funnels its way up through the food chain. And if there's nefarious plans involved in any of that, it can go very, very poorly. Now, they can only overreach so far, but I think under Trump, there was this extenuated effort that they almost showed their hand. I mean, they really did show their hand. If anybody's paying attention, you could see it. The problem, I think, was that people weren't paying attention. And people were so caught up in the idea that, you know, Trump is bad, Orange Man bad. They were doing all kinds of things to make him look bad. And then behind the scenes, you had people that he thought he could trust. And there were some of them he could trust, but they were being fed bad information. I think Michael Flynn is one of those individuals who got caught up in some things that and I'm talking about the FBI investigation. Well, they came after him, but after the election, I think Michael Flynn got caught up. Flynn got caught up in some of the things that were being said. He was being fed some bad information as well. Sidney Powell. The whole thing with Sidney Powell. This is what's really sad about it. Is basically and I think Gorsuch has come around on this. He dissented on the court's decision to reject the cases with no explanation, by the way. Sidney Powell, I think, had two cases before the Supreme Court on voter fraud, I guess is what it was. And, they rejected them both. Wouldn't hear it. I believe Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch were the three. There may have actually been four. I can't remember the number on that, but I think Gorsuch was the new one, which surprised me. However, basically, the opinion right now, the way it comes across anyway, the way it looks to me, is that the SCOTUS basically sees it as it won't change the outcome. There's no use looking at it. And if they do take it and it's something that would have changed the outcome, then what do we do with that? And they don't want to go there. Because they basically are saying it's over, it's done. You know, we kicked it far enough down the road now that we can say we've gone too far to go back now. That's what they're saying. Which I think is in and of itself criminal. This is what criminals do, by the way. They get so far into a crime. You know, maybe after they've, you know, accidentally, they never intended to kill anybody in that robbery, but somebody got killed. Now they're in it for good. Now they're really on the lam. Now they're really running around. So now they're going for broke. Well, we've gone too far down this road now. We just got to keep going. Bonnie and Clyde. There we go. That's kind of what's happening here. They're kind of saying it doesn't matter. Oh, in the meantime, let's have sweeping election reform. Why? I thought we just came from, like I said, we just came from one of the most perfect elections ever. So why do we need to change anything? They only want to change things with regard to, they see how this works now. So now they want to open up the entire country to be regulated by the federal government, be centralized. The elections now will be centralized and regulated by the federal government. Whereas we are supposed to have state elections that make these decisions. And in some cases, that's where the rules need to be changed. And I guarantee you, if you live in a particular state, especially one that has had some issues, now if you live in one that is a typical red state, you better make sure there are some things in place that continue to have the vote being fair. Because this is how it happens. They kind of get lax. They don't think about it. Oh, it's just, yeah, this works. We're still winning. It's working just fine. And the next thing you know, Democrats get some power, or these leftist communists get some power, and they change some things, or they take advantage of the rules, especially in a time like this, when we had this COVID thing. Now, speaking of the taking advantage of the COVID thing, I got to cover this before I sign off. The border thing down there, the thing down at the border. The facilities, the overflow facilities that they've opened back up again, which is what they were screaming about, kids in cages thing. They've now reopened this compound, this facility. And apparently in the midst of this compound and facility being opened, they've put a press blackout. No press are allowed on the facility or at the facility. Isn't that convenient? Oh, guess why? There's a reason. Oh, and of course the press, oh yes, of course. Because of COVID. So they're using COVID to hide. They're hiding behind COVID once again to black out the press. Couldn't possibly anything be wrong with that. What could they possibly be doing there? Yeah, and they're fine with that. If Trump would have done that, of course, we know where that would have gone. Again, double standards. Gets back to that. So once again, here we are, Wednesday morning. I'll be posting this pretty quickly. I do have good, at least good internet here at this particular facility. It will be late tonight before I get another show put on the road here. And then tomorrow morning, I may not even have a show because, there's a lot going on. I got to travel out early on Thursday morning. I'm sorry. Got to get up early Thursday morning, travel out that day. It'll be late midnight before I get home. So Thursday's kind of going to be a blackout night for me, apparently. So I'm not going to black out, but it's, you know, I'm being blacked out. So God bless everybody. Take care. Keep praying for our nation. Pray for each other. And have a great day.